What do you do when someone you love gets sick? And what if you learn that the sickness is fatal? Do you delay visiting your friend? Now, sometimes you might because you don't know what to do. Other times you might delay because, you know, just the circumstances are beyond your control, so you just can't get there. However, with Jesus, none of those things applied. He always knew what to do, and nothing controlled him. He controlled all things. Well, a friend of his was sick, but Jesus delayed for 2 days. The loving Lord Jesus delayed for 2 days before going to see that sick friend because his work, preaching and teaching, took precedence over such things. But it also provided an opportunity for his friend Lazarus to die, which would then allow Jesus later to do a greater work. Well, see, there's work again. Jesus was always thinking about the work that he had to do here on the earth. Finally, Jesus went to awaken his friend from sleep, which was his way of referring to death. You know, you wake up from sleep and you wake up from death. Something that every single one of us shall do in the resurrection at the last day. In John 11, 21 through 27, Jesus met one of the sisters of the dead man, Lazarus. And here's the conversation that took place, part of which Lake just read for us. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Look at the faith and perhaps mild rebuke of Martha toward Jesus. She knew that if he had been there, her brother Lazarus would still be alive because Jesus could have prevented his death. Where then had he been? Yet, she did not lose hope, knowing that whatever Jesus asked of God, God the Father would give to his Son. Now, she didn't state her request. She just kind of left it dangling. But Jesus knew what she was thinking. Were the butterflies starting to fly in her stomach? Jesus assured her that her brother would rise again because, after all, Lazarus was sleeping. Well, Martha expressed her full acceptance in the teachings of Christ and of the Scriptures, and she confessed that she knew of the last day resurrection, which is yet to be even from our standpoint, and that Lazarus would be included in that. And I wondered, was she testing the Lord to see what he planned on doing? To show that a resurrection would happen before the last day one, he affirmed that he was the resurrection and the life. Because in Jesus, your spirit is renewed and you live as you never have before. Therefore, He can make us live forever. We may die in the body, but we still live. However, we have to believe and live in Jesus. And He asked Martha, do you believe that? And the question's the same for us. Do we believe that? Do we believe that if we believe in Jesus and live in Him, that we shall be resurrected someday? Well, Martha showed her belief, urgently confessing that she believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, the very one whom the Scriptures had said would come into the world. She believed in Jesus and she lived in Him. Watch what happened next. 28 through 32 of John 11. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. After Martha had talked to Jesus, she went to her secret, or to her sister privately with good news, telling her in secret that the teacher, Jesus, was just outside of town and was calling for her. Why didn't Jesus come to the house where Mary was, where all the mourners were? She went quickly to where Jesus was, and she, like Martha, knew who he was and what he was capable of doing. Her hopes and anticipation skyrocketed. She may not have been fully knowing what to expect, but she knew that something wonderful could happen. Jesus had already delayed 2 days. And verse 30 shows him stopped just outside of town. After all, why go into town? He knew what he was going to do. And remember, he had been on the east side of the Jordan River. He's crossed over the Jordan. He's come close to Jerusalem. You know, just 2 miles away was Bethany. He's outside of the town of Bethany. So he's now come to the closest meeting spot where he could meet with the sisters, and then they could go to the tomb, wherever it was. He wanted to go to the tomb. He did not want to delay by going into town and dealing with all the people and the mourners, and plus, you know, Jesus coming into a town, he was always just, you know, people flocked to him, excuse me, immediately. Seeing Mary grieve over the loss of her beloved brother, and then suddenly get up and leave the house quickly, the other people there assumed, well, she's going to go to the tomb. She wants to weep there. She wants to be as close to her brother as she could possibly be. And she's out of town, and she sees Jesus. See the humility of this woman. She fell at the feet of this man. And later in the Gospel according to John, we'll see her at the feet of Jesus again. In fact, there's another reference in the Gospel according to Luke when she's at the feet of Jesus. 3 different times this woman was at the feet of Jesus. This time, begging him for something, later in John, honoring him, and in Luke, learning from him. And evidently she cared not how it appeared with her falling at his feet, but by her actions and by her words, she employed the teacher to do something. Lazarus was already dead. What could he do? Remember that Martha did not make a request. But she knew that whatever Jesus requested of the Father, He would do it for His Son. And then, did you notice that Mary unknowingly repeated the words of her sister? You know, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. And I'm sure she said the same words because probably she and her sister were back at home along with the other mourners thinking that very thing. If Jesus had been here, they're all talking, He would not have allowed Lazarus to die. Mary said nothing more that is recorded anyway. However, she undoubtedly thought, as Martha did, that whatever Jesus asked of God, God would do it for him. Let's see what happens next, verses 33 through 35. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Hebrews chapter 4 says that Jesus can be touched by what we suffer with and by what we struggle with in life. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Are you surprised then that Jesus groaned in the Spirit when He saw all these people crying for this man that they all loved? John, here in John chapter 11, showed us a Jesus touched deep within when He saw people hurting. He saw a woman whom He loved weeping. And He saw her sister whom He loved weeping. And He saw all these other people weeping. All for a man whom Jesus loved. He could not and would not restrain Himself. In His spirit He groaned. It must have been a low, audible groan. And John says, Jesus was troubled. He loved all these people. Then He asked a question, although they had no idea why He asked the question. He wanted to know, "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see, Lord." You know, we might ask where someone is buried because we just want to go there and see the grave and pay our last respects. But Jesus had something else in mind. We know that Martha and probably Mary expected something to happen, but did they have any idea what they were about to see? They directed Him to the tomb. And so they all went. The groaning in His spirit and the trouble He felt for these people welled up inside Him mightily. And did you see what Jesus did? Did you catch that? he wept. This one who had inhabited heaven for eternity, who lived in a place that is nothing but joy and peace and beauty and wonder, came down here to live among us, and he saw people crying, and the one who was once on the throne of heaven himself started crying. You know, I've seen a lot of artwork done of Jesus, but I don't think I've ever seen one of this. I'd love to see an artist show a picture of Jesus weeping. Jesus knew what wonderful thing he was about to do. But he still wept because his spirit joined their spirits. Their pain became his, and he truly felt what they were feeling. He did not sacrifice his manhood by weeping. But he showed his manhood. He was the Son of God, but the Bible also says he was the Son of Man. And so by weeping, he showed that he was a man. But look how people responded to it in 36 and 37. Both support and criticism. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Jesus loved Lazarus. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" One group saw the love of Jesus for Lazarus. They knew that Jesus was the great teacher and an extremely popular man, but they saw that he cared for, that he thought of, that he spent time with the common man or woman. And he stood with them in their moment of sorrow. He did not try to avoid tears. And Jesus didn't always have to have everything upbeat and positive. Have you read the words of King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7? I know sometimes when people read the book of Ecclesiastes, or especially the words of chapter 7, they see them as depressing words. But they're not at all. But they're words of wisdom for appropriate times in life. And Jesus encountered one of those times, and he did not shy away from it. But he gave himself to it, and I think we would be wise to follow his example and to follow the words of King Solomon. Ecclesiastes 7, 2 through 4 says this: "Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." And Jesus had come into the house of mourning. And so he wept with those who wept. Now, another group that day saw the love of Jesus as a criticism. They used it as a reason to criticize him. And you'll see just how strongly they felt about this a little bit later. They reasoned correctly that if Jesus, who could open the eyes of the blind, had been there earlier, he could have prevented the death of Jesus. They were right. Yet they used that truth to criticize him. You know, sometimes critics reason correctly, but they use their reasoning to destroy someone. These people here could not see that even as God allowed Israel to be trapped by the mountains and Pharaoh on one side and the Red Sea on the other so that he could work a greater work later, so Jesus allowed Lazarus to die that he could do something much greater later. And likewise, God often allows us to come into difficult situations when he could have prevented it. Because he wants to show his glory through something greater that he works in our lives. Should Jesus prevent the death of everyone? Well, no. Because both he and his Father want all of us to eventually join them in heaven. They don't want us to stay down here forever. Death is a hard way to leave. But that's the way it works. Verse 38, John 11. Then Jesus, again groaning in to himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus again groaned in himself. What so troubled the Son of God? What so moved his spirit that he groaned with a groaning that cannot be uttered? Perhaps he groaned again, feeling for these people, because you know what? Later, they're going to have to see Lazarus die again. Perhaps he groaned again, this time feeling for Lazarus. Because where was Lazarus? Lazarus was in a good and comfortable place where there's no more suffering. And Jesus has to call him back from there to live here on the earth again. And he'll have to die again. Do you want to die the first time? I don't. I don't ever want to die. Can you imagine dying twice? From my understanding, that's what would happen to everyone who was ever resurrected in the Bible. They die again. Perhaps he groaned again, though, because he had already done so many miracles. Yet before the people would believe, they needed to see more. They continued to see, needed to see more before they would believe. And that grieved Jesus on other occasions. At this point, his ministry is almost over. It's been over 3 years. How many miracles has he worked? Perhaps it grieved him because people could only see what he could do for the body and not for the spirit. Well, Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus. They had placed him in a cave and rolled a stone in front of it. And there, they all stopped and looked at the tomb, including Jesus. What was going on? What was Jesus doing? Everyone wept, and they probably thought they were there to do some more weeping with Jesus. Now, Martha had said earlier that whatever Jesus asked of God, God would give to Jesus. Mary knew the power of the teacher. She also knew that God would give to his son anything. Jesus did not fall to the ground in grief. It doesn't appear that he went around just hugging everyone. No. He prepared himself to do something else. So what was he doing standing there in front of the tomb of Lazarus? Why had he asked Martha to call Mary and then all of them, the three of them as well as all the other mourners, go to the tomb of their brother? Jesus had groaned and wept and then groaned again. He saw the stone and then we have to see tonight what else happens, starting at verse 39. Please come back tonight. Do you see that there's a God in heaven above who knows your sorrows and struggles and who comforts you in those issues of life? Do you see that? That's what I want you to see this morning. When Paul began his letter, his second letter to the Corinthians, he said something about God that we really need to get right here at this moment. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God is there with us every step of the way, especially as we go through the struggles of life. And God is ready to comfort you right now. The guilt of your sin tortures your spirit. And He wants to relieve you of that right now. Why wait? He cares for you. And He can relieve that guilt through the forgiveness that He offers through Jesus. And you can have that forgiveness this morning by becoming a Christian. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you are ready to be immersed in water, we're ready. We've got everything that you need. A baptistry behind me. We're ready. We can do it this morning. If you want to do it, come forward right now, please, as we stand and sing.